The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Monday's edition. We have four cards in store with action coming from Brighton, Perth and Windsor. While over in Ireland we have action from Galway. Remember that Racing Radio will have all of that covered from 1:50pm with Ollie Pimlott, John Budden and Kevin O'Malley offering their best bets on all of the action. But to look ahead to some of the best of the action on Monday, it's myself, Michael Wood, and John Budden. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Hello, Michael. I'm very well indeed. Could do with a winning nap or two. I seem to have struck a barren patch, but otherwise I'm in great shape.
Good stuff. I was watching some of the highlights of the Haydock Sprint Cup yesterday, where Quiet Reflection put in a blistering performance to win it. It was quite something to watch, wasn't it?
It was quite something to watch, no doubt about that, Michael. The race was to a certain extent not ruined, but it was definitely made disappointing through the absence of Limato and one or two others because of the ground. It was really raining hard. Gordy Brown, who was there, said the water soaked right through his Macintosh. Now, bearing in mind it's a Scottish variety, it obviously did rain fairly badly at Haydock, which affected the running, I think, of one or two horses actually in the race, but Quiet Reflection seemed to cope very well with conditions. Really tremendous performance, and I'm delighted for a number of reasons. First of all, for Dougie Costello, you know, who's made the transition from jump racing to flat racing every bit as smoothly as Jim Crowley and Graham Lee in the past. And it's a lesson to us all, Michael. Well, you're nice and slim anyhow, so it's not a lesson to you, but it is a lesson to me and others slightly stouter that, you know, he's lost a lot of weight. But he retains power. I thought he gave Quiet Reflection a splendid ride. And as they say in the Racing Post, it's not often in a Group 1 sprint that you see a jockey raise his goggles in confidence passing the furlong marker, which is what Dougie Costello was able to do. Also, the win, you know, would have been very satisfactory for Carl Burke, not just another Group 1 for him, but also there's been a slight worry about the horses in his yard. One or two of them have not run up to scratch recently, and there was always, you know, slight anguish in mind, I think, that Quiet Reflection might also fit into that category when running, but he certainly didn't. A second Group 1, and who's to say he won't go on to put a third on the scoreboard in the Champion Sprints at Champions Day at Ascot later in the season. But what do you think about the Tin Man?
There was a lot of talk about the Tin Man, wasn't there? Obviously, a lot of people were discussing whether they were comparing him to Limato and how that would pan out, but I was slightly disappointed.
Yes, of course, he got away very slowly. Just sort of diverging for a brief moment, the July Cup form was boosted quite significantly yesterday, Quiet Reflection being third in that race behind Limato. And had Limato been able to run, you know, the form plus the Nunthorpe form would suggest that Henry Candy's sprinter would have been hard to beat. But I thought the Tin Man ran pretty well, bearing in mind that he definitely lost more than a couple of beats, Michael, at the start, and he was running on strongly. I fancy he's slightly better on better ground, the Tin Man, but they're both going to go to Ascot, I think, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Tin Man didn't come good at Ascot, particularly if he got away on terms.
Fingers crossed the Tin Man can come back and pick up a win. There's one point of discussion that you were very keen to bring up, John, the Doncaster Cup coming up next Friday, where the Pulsator and Clondor Warrior primed for a rematch. How much are you looking forward to that particular encounter?
I am looking forward to that particular encounter. I think I'm right in saying that almost the whole group of the first five home in York's Lonsdale Stakes are running in this Doncaster Cup. There are two horses that I'm really looking forward to seeing running. One is Sir Mark Prescott's horse, which St. Michael, who is in very good form, and so is the stable in excellent form. But this is the race I've been waiting for Clever Cookie to win. If the ground is suitable, he can finally come good this season. He hasn't run badly in the really top-class staying races, including the Gold Cup, but he's just found one or two a little bit too good for him. But Doncaster is Clever Cookie's favourite terrain, and I have a feeling that Peter Niven will have him absolutely spot on for the Doncaster Cup on Friday.
Well, let's move on to our four races that we're going to be previewing for Monday's action. We're going to begin by looking at two races at Windsor. The first one is the 250. It's a handicap, a class 5 event over 6 furlongs with 12 runners in this race. John, what's caught the eye in this one?
Well, there are a couple of runners that I think have got really good chances. In fact, it is a race, Michael, in which, you know, all the runners have got just a little bit more than a squeak. At the top, we've got Frenchman representing Charlie Hills, who's got quite a good record at Windsor, drawn 10, so could come thundering down the stand side, but was running at Epsom last time out, finished third to Ancient Astronaut. I think it's got to improve a bit on that running. In Haste represents a very much informed stable of Eve Johnson Horton, very consistent, third at Lingfield in a similar event last time out, but does not win all that often. And you could certainly say that about Sir Jaya, representing William Haggas, who has run up a whole sequence of seconds, but the last second came here at Windsor behind May Rose, who runs later in the card. And, you know, it might be that Sir Jaya has got down to the correct level here. But I'm going to go for Equistar in this contest, Michael. Represents Jonathan Portman, who has a very good record indeed at Windsor. And I like the way that this horse beat She's a Dream at Leicester last time out. So Equistar is the choice.
Equistar, the one that stands out in the 250 at Windsor. Let's move on to our next race on the Monday edition of the Racing Podcast, and it's going to be the 520, the finale at Windsor on Monday. It's a handicap, a class 4 event. It's over 5 furlongs and 10 yards. 11 runners to choose from in the field. John, what appeals here?
Again, hugely competitive and not particularly classy race, but a chance by most of the runners. The top one, Miracle Garden, has been running really consistently well throughout the season, but always manages to find at least one too good, and I think it may be the same case this afternoon at Windsor. The two I like are Justice Lady, representing David Ellsworth. David has a whole selection of horses beginning with the word Justice, and Justice Lady has run pretty well for him throughout the season. Jamie Spencer on board here at Windsor. Must Go Close ran a decent fifth last time out in a better race at Newmarket. And then we've got May Rose in this contest. Now, this horse represents Charlie Hills and has been a winner recently both at Wolverhampton and at Windsor. And it was at Windsor that he beat Sir Jaya from the William Haggas yard. And I think that this filly is an improver and has a great chance of winning again here at Windsor. But it is competitive, as I said. You could give a chance to John Bridger's horse, Petockside. You could also give a possible chance to Archie Stevens, right down the bottom, from David Evans. Both those trainers have a good record at Windsor. But I'm going to go for May Rose to complete a hat-trick and win again at Windsor.
So May Rose, the one to be with in the finale at Windsor on Monday. Let's move on to the next race of our preview. We're going to be moving to Brighton for the 4 o'clock. It's a handicap, a class 5 event. It's over 1 mile, 1 furlong and 209 yards. 9 runners in the field here, John. What do you like?
It's a real minefield, this one, Michael. But you've got horses who are knocking at the door frequently. Lord Reason, right at the top of the handicap. John Butler, Sylvester D'Souza in the saddle. And Sylvester, you know, has a decent record at Brighton. He likes to seize the initiative. But I thought Lord Reason had got plenty to do. Hungerford is another. Eve Johnson Horton horse hasn't run much this season. And has taken a bit of time to win before that, but is a fairly decent horse in the context of the race. Then we've got Tee It Up Tomo. Nice to see if Tomo was commentating. He's been on holiday. That's why he hasn't been calling recently. But Tee It Up Tomo ran quite well last time out, but I think it's got to improve a bit. We've got Timmy Murphy riding for Richard Hannon, too, on a horse who's knocking at the door called Not Touch. The one I like very much here is Sir Mark Prescott's horse, Ocean Ready. I thought Ocean Ready ran very decently at Salisbury. I have a liking for Salisbury form. Horses that run well at the Wiltshire track often do so again the next time. Hit the front perhaps a little bit early here. Ocean Ready at Salisbury ran on really strongly. Luke Morris is in the saddle. And Sir Mark sends horses, quite decent ones, to Brighton, you know. Red Box, for example, a really decent filly, ran for the second time in her seasonal campaign at Brighton, and others have come down to the seaside as well. So Ocean Ready for Sir Mark Prescott.
So Ocean Ready, the one that appeals to John in the 4 p.m. at Brighton. Let's move on to the final race of our preview. We're going to Perth for the 3:40. It's a handicap chase, a class 4 event over 2 miles with just the 6 runners to choose from. John, in terms of this field, what would be your best bet?
Well, my best bet is Nicky Richards' horse. I think he's got a really good chance in this race. What a Shot, who's been ridden by Craig Nicol. It rather looks as though Craig Nicol is definitely earmarked as the successor to Brian Harding, as the major jockey for the Nicky Richards Greystoke stable. He is currently riding a number of the better horses from the Cumbrian Yard. What a Shot is not in the top grade of the Greystoke horses, but has been fairly consistent here. His form is closely linked with the Flying Portrait, who he finished second to at Perth 2 outings ago. I fancy he can reverse the form with the Flying Portrait, and he was a decent second at Perth last time out. He's been knocking at the door. He's relatively well weighted, stable in form, jockey in form, so What a Shot is the choice. One or two others, Endeavour, for example, must be mentioned in this contest. He won for the 17th time in his career over jumps at Cartmel, Michael, last time out under Brian Hughes. Did it really well. He's only won 70 grand as a result of those 17 races, which does actually show discrimination between the reward for jumping and the rewards on the flat. But nevertheless, he's a grand horse for Diane Sayre, but he's more happier I should say, at Cartmel and at Kelso. So I fancy he could be done here at Perth. And then there's Kumbashar, who's been very decent in his time for Lucinda Russell, has run decently at Cartmel on the last 2 outings, and the Flying Portrait. But I'm going to go with What a Shot.
What a Shot, the bet in the 3:40 at Perth. Well, as John, as always, thank you for your thoughts on Monday's action. And can we just have a quick recap of your selections, please?
Well, we go to Windsor for the 2:50, and that is Jonathan Portman's Equistar. Also at Windsor in the 5:20, May Rose to complete a hat-trick. Then at Brighton in the 4 o'clock, Sir Mark Prescott's Ocean Ready. And at Perth in the 3:40, Nicky Richards and What a Shot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.